Thank you for joining me again today, and we've been talking, as always, about who God is, and I have been demonstrating to you from the Bible that God is just. God is just. There is perfect justice in God. While this world is full of injustice, or the absence of justice, heaven is abounding in pure justice, and God will bring down His justice like a hammer on all of the sinful injustice this world has ever experienced when He judges the world for sin and unrighteousness in the near future. In fact, today we are another day closer to the promised ruling of God for every person that has ever lived. What a glorious day that shall be when God's justice is fully on display. And yet, from where we sit today, we know full well that our city, our town, our state, our country, and our whole world is not yet a place of justice. No, it's an awfully unjust society around here. And this prompts two common questions for God. The first is this: if God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? And what I'm doing in these days together is to offer you some answers, only as found within the pages of the Bible. Through the written word of God, God speaks, and He does have something to offer us by way of a response to our question. Thus far, I have told you that the wicked do not always prosper. God sometimes brings swift justice to the unjust. And second, as I talked about last time, God can allow for evil in order to accomplish His purposes in the world. We saw this most amazingly in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. God had temporarily allowed for evil in order that the purposes of God would last for all eternity. What an example to us. There is the temporary and there is the eternal. In the short term, there is injustice, but in the long term, God's sweet justice prevails. Oh, yes, it does, my friends. So should you be faced with an injustice done against you, look to Jesus. In no way did He deserve death, but that's exactly what He received. The greatest act of injustice ever committed is what was done to Christ on the cross. But God had a splendid purpose in allowing for this: the redemption of all men and women who will put their faith in this same Jesus who God raised from the dead. With this as a bit of review, I want to move on today to talk about the third reason found within Scripture for why, if God is just, wicked people can seem, at least, to prosper. My third response comes from Romans chapter 2. If you have your Bible there with you, then you can turn to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. What I'm going to do is read this text for us and make some comments along the way. We will work our way down through this text logically, so stick with me if you would. And if you do not have your Bible with you right now, then please read this later on your own. When you do, you'll see the Apostle Paul's argument makes logical sense. Listen now to Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I'll pause there. Paul gives us an important insight into the character of God. He says that the kindness and tolerance and patience of God is meant to lead us to repentance. And that is, God withholds judgment in order that we will be genuinely sorry for our sin and turn to Christ for salvation from sin. The word kindness there refers to what we call common grace, which God gives to all people. And the word for tolerance there in the Greek means to hold back. And God is holding back His judgment on wicked people with the intended purpose of repentance. God wants the wicked people to repent and to turn to Christ for forgiveness. However, as we have been discussing, the wicked do not repent. They refuse to see the kindness, the tolerance, and the patience of God as for repentance, and instead mistake it for approval. So as the wicked sin, they begin to assume that the judgment of God on their sin will never come. It appears to them that the more wicked they become, the more merciful God becomes, because He does nothing obvious to keep them or to stop them from more and more evil. And we begin to assume this as well. Remember the question that so many people want answered: if God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? But now let's get back to the biblical text. I continue my reading now in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Oh, this is key. Please highlight this in your Bibles, Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Here Paul addressed the wicked, and he starts with the little three-letter word, but. B-U-T is an important word, and Paul uses it by way of contrast. Because of the wicked person's stubbornness, he or she has an unrepentant heart. The wicked refuse to repent. They simply will not do it. In fact, they commit more and more and more evil the longer that they are allowed to live. However, unbeknownst to the wicked, all of their evil leads to wrath. Quoting Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, you are storing up wrath for yourself. And what is wrath? It is God's justified anger against sin. Wrath is God's justified anger against sin. You see, God will not tolerate wickedness forever. Absolutely not. Notice what will happen on the future day of wrath. On that day will come the, quote, revelation of the righteous judgment of God, unquote. And notice the word righteousness again. There's our key word, and it is inseparable from justice. So on this future day of wrath against the wicked, God will pronounce a righteous or a just judgment on them for their evil deeds. Paul says this directly in the next verse, verse 6. This is Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. God will render to each person according to his deeds. And that is a quote of Psalm chapter 62 and verse 12. Psalm 62, 12. Justified judgment is coming for the wicked. In fact, in verses 7 through 9 of Romans 2, Paul then contrasts what the godly will receive when we face God versus what the ungodly or the wicked will receive when they face God. Let me read this from Romans chapter 2 and verses 7 through 9. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of a man who does evil. Whoa, that is Romans 2, verses 7 through 9, and Paul is crystal clear. For those who have repented of their sin and have faith in Christ, there is immortality and eternal and everlasting life. But for the wicked, what awaits? The wrath and indignation, the holy anger of God. Listen closely to verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. I'll read that again so that we get it. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. All of my reading in Romans 2 leads us to our third answer. God sometimes allows the wicked to prosper so they will repent, but if they do not repent, then, to quote theologian Thomas Watson, God's justice becomes clearer in his condemnation. God's justice becomes clearer in his condemnation. God is going to condemn the wicked to hell, and when he does, it will be clear to the wicked that God is absolutely justified in doing so. God's justice will prevail. Be assured of this. When the wicked face God, the wicked will readily admit that God's judgment on them is completely justified. They will have no excuse. Their evil deeds will be inexcusable, as they themselves will admit. Looking back over a lifetime, sometimes a long lifetime of evil, they will see their sin as being inexcusable. In that moment when God looks on them and sends them to eternal and everlasting punishment in hell, they will know that God does this out of his perfect and flawless justice. God is just. And the unjust will know his justice eternally. And so sometimes, now not every time, but sometimes God allows for injustice to carry on a little bit longer. in order to make his judgment on sin all the more justified. This is the testimony of Scripture, and we find this in other biblical texts as well. For example, in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, where we read so much about God's impending judgment, in chapter 2 and verse 21, Jesus says this about Jezebel: "I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality." And who is Jezebel? Well, in the Old Testament, she was a wicked and evil woman married to King Ahab, who influenced the Jews into gross immorality. Here in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, Jesus is likely using her name as a pseudonym for a real woman who was influencing the church in Thyatira to similar kinds of wickedness. Notice what Jesus says: "I gave her time to repent." It sure must have seemed to the believers in Thyatira that God was letting the wicked prosper. And temporarily, he did. But then let's read Revelation chapter 2 and verse 22. "Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." Well, there's the justified judgment of God. There it is, the tribulation. It sounds a lot like Romans chapter 2, doesn't it? Revelation 2 and Romans 2 go together. Let me end by reminding you of our question and today's answer. Question: if God is just, then why do wicked people seem to prosper? Answer: God sometimes allows for injustice to carry on a little bit longer in order to make his judgment on sin all the more justified. God's justice becomes clearer in God's condemnation. And when you come back tomorrow, I'll say more about this, and we will begin to answer our second question. What a week of questions and answers. So please join me here tomorrow on God Is.